Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome again to Wake Up St. Louis. Tonight and for the succeeding weeks, we are departing from our usual program format to present a special series of programs, Panel with Care.
Hey, that's worth a lot of dough. Handle it with care.
That's my life. Handle with care.
Handle with care. Your heritage, your ideal.
Handle with care. Handle with care. Handle with care.
Handle with care, because this is the greatest struggle in human history, the struggle for human rights and freedom.
In cooperation with Station KXOK and Wake Up St. Louis, the St. Louis Council on Human Relations will bring you in the coming weeks Handle with Care, a series of special programs dedicated to you, the people, and to the preservation of your most sacred possessions, human dignity and freedom. Today, the ideal and the action.
Let's start off with some words. Human dignity and freedom, democracy, the American way, brotherhood, equality, liberty, the American ideal.
Okay, so they're nice words. Politicians and preachers spout them all the time. So what?
So what? So let's look at what they mean. Where do you go to church?
Wherever I want. That's my business.
Right, that's your business. And what newspapers do you read?
Whichever one I want to. What's that got to do with it?
Plenty. Who do you vote for? What programs do you listen to? What kind of work do you do? What make of car do you drive?
Say, look, I don't see the need for all this fuss. Those are all my business. I'm an American, see? I do what I want about those things. They're all my business and nobody else's.
Right and wrong, my friend. All these things you've mentioned are your business, but they're everybody else's business, too. For what you're talking about is freedom, and freedom is everybody's business. In 1776, there came into being a new set of laws, a new way of life for mankind, the American way. It drew its ideals straight from the great religious concepts of the ages, the ideal that man is entitled to dignity, decency, equality, and freedom. Religion gave man these qualities before God. America translated them into the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, ensure domestic tranquility, promote the general welfare, and provide the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
I know that one. Learned it in grammar school.
I know you did, Joe, and so did most Americans, because those words are the ideal on which this country was founded and by which we're governed today. Those words have been put in other ways, too. Do you remember what George Washington said?
The government of the United States gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance. Everyone shall live in safety under his own vine and fig tree, and there shall be none to make him afraid.
Or the words of Lincoln?
That government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
Sure, you know that one too, Joe. All these are part of you because you're an American, and you'd fight anyone who tried to take these things away from you.
You bet I would. In fact, I did fight in the first war. My older boy was in the second one. Our youngest in Korea right now. For the same reason, I guess.
That's right, for the same reason. To protect your right to freedom. But remember, Joe, your right is every American's right. Freedom is everybody's job, and we either have it all together, all of us, or none of us will have it. That's the ideal. But there are those among us who violate and dirty this great ideal with their actions.
Only Christians need apply.
Dining room. Whites only.
Restricted.
No Japs or dogs allowed.
We regret to inform you that we must deny your application for entrance to our college. Your quota is filled.
The ideal has been expressed by countless people in many other ways. Perhaps not in the dignified language of the Declaration of Independence, but in simple ways, just as sincerely and just as heartfelt. Let's look in on a hovel placed on rocky soil in the darkness of Europe.
Oh, it is hard. It is very hard to leave your land when you have loved it for so many years.
It will not be hard for me, nor my wife, to give up. This is easy when we can go to America. There, don't you remember? There is freedom, like in the books. Now it is to be for us. Freedom, Mama, and the pursuit of happiness.
And again, actions reply to those simple words.
I'm sorry, Mac, but the job's all filled. Sorry.
But the sign said you wanted men to work. I am strong.
Sorry, pal. Nothing I can do.
But please, I have to make a living. I will work hard. I am strong.
You want
to
work so bad, why don't you go back where you came from and work? These jobs are for Americans.
But I have my first papers already. I am an American.
What? With that accent? Listen, don't kid me, bud. Americans talk like me. Good, plain USA talk. Sorry, Mac. No work.
In this way do the actions mock the ideal. To you, sitting in your easy chair, this job by itself may seem unimportant. But is the work of any man unimportant? Is his need for self-respect and a productive life unimportant? Once started, remember that what goes for the little jobs also goes for the big ones.
Well, I haven't made up my mind exactly. Now, the way I see it, this Hoover's an honest man, but heck, I don't know. I kind of tend toward Al Smith.
What? Don't be crazy, friend. You want to let a Catholic get in the White House? Why, in 2 weeks, he'll have the Pope in there with him, telling him what to do.
Oh, gosh, I don't really think it's going
to
be...
Why, you listen to me, I know. Be careful. Let's keep an American in there as president.
That's what they were saying in 1928. That was the action that denied the ideal. Read the lines of our Constitution, between the lines, behind the lines, if you want to, and find, if you can, the thing that just isn't there. The statement that no Catholic or no Jew or no Negro, regardless of his worth or ability, may be president of the United States. Look for many hours if you're skeptical, and then when the thing is proven to you, understand that here is a great ideal, a great plan by which every man and all men can aspire to become the leader of the nation, and that the people may select the most able men to lead them. And then remember that this is the ideal, and the action which stems from the people is still far away.
Don't be crazy, friend! You want to let a Catholic get in the White House?
Say, mister, excuse me for interrupting.
Why, of course, friend. What's on your mind?
I'm getting kind of fed up. What I mean is, I want you to understand that I'm no bigot, see? I mean, I got nothing against Negroes, and some of my best friends is Jews and Catholics, but heck, none of this talk means nothing to me. I don't want to be president, neither does anybody I know. If there's some of this here discrimination around in the South, well, that ain't no skin off my back. Let live, I say. Heck, ain't much of that stuff in St. Louis. Why all the stewing over nothing? You see what I mean?
Sure, mister, I see what you mean, and thanks for the advice. Pull up a chair.
Oh, no, I got to get
down. No, sit down, please. I have some very interesting stories to tell you.
Stories? That's more like it. That's what radio's for. Now that you're leaving off this prejudice stuff, which doesn't mean anything in St. Louis.
The stories I'll tell you are tales of pain, of anger, of the quick word, and the long hurt which cannot be erased by years. These are the stories of a long journey away from the path which they call brotherhood. These are the stories of the great gulf which separates the ideal from the action in this, our beloved city. These are true stories, like the story of the basketball player.
All right, hold it, you guys. Now, Wilson, you're supposed to screen that man, not just run right by him.
Come on, you guys, use your heads. If we win Friday night, we tie for the league championship. I don't have to tell you that. So we're crying out loud, get down to work and practice and quit that messing around. I'm getting sick and tired of it. All right, now let's get to work on those out-of-bounds plays.
Come on, you guys. Come on.
Cut in, Roy. Cut in. That up, boy. That up, boy. Nice shot. That's the way to...
Hold it. What the heck's wrong with you, Levy? Told you guys quit that messing around. Now get up off the floor and start working.
Coach, I think I sprained my...
You sprained nothing. Every time I look around, you're loafing. What's the matter, Levy? Don't you Jews have any guts?
A simple question. And spoken in just 3 seconds or so. But to the boy who looked amazedly at the man who hovered over him, a man respected and admired as the example of good sportsmanship, the question will pound and echo and reverberate in a tortured memory for years to come. This incident was true.
Oh, that didn't mean nothing. That was just a game.
It meant that a man charged with the development of the bodies and character of growing Americans was guilty of careless handling of his responsibility as an American. Yes, that was just a game, Joe. But here's another true story. The story of a man's job and earning a living for his family.
That's the situation, Mr. Ross. They're mighty sore about the whole thing.
What'd you tell them?
Well, I didn't say much of anything. They demanded that I go to the boss and carry their message. So here I am. They're pretty sore.
Well, how about Adams? What's his first name?
Peter Adams. Oh, he doesn't say much of anything. Never does. Kind of a tight spot for him, being the only colored guy in a plant like this.
Does he know the way those men feel?
Yeah, I guess so. Don't see how he could miss it.
Well, send him on in. I guess now's as good a time as any.
Okay, boss.
Adam's boss wants to see you right away.
Okay. Officer. You want to see me, Mr. Ross?
Yeah, Adams, I might as well give it to you straight. I gotta let you go.
Let me go? You're firing me? Why? What's wrong? Had my work been all right?
Your work's been okay. Nothing wrong. Hate to tell you this, Adams, but the other men won't work as long as you're here. They say they got no complaints against you, but they feel that soon other Negroes will be coming in and they'll be out of a job.
But why fire me? What have I done wrong? I've worked hard for you, giving you the best I got.
I know you have, Adams, and I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. The men just won't work as long as you're here. And I'm in no position for any strike now. Don't like to do it, Adams. You're a good worker. But I gotta let you go.
And there ain't no chance that... Well, you won't call a bluff?
Certainly not. I can't afford to. Listen, Adams, I personally don't care whether they discriminate or not. If people want to work to end segregation, that's okay with me. But if it's a matter of shutting down this here plant and maybe losing my business, I'm personally going to have nothing to do with it. You can draw your pay from the cashier. Well, you can't blame the guy for not wanting to hurt his business.
No, but what that man did will, in the long run, hurt his business even more.
Well, how? I don't see that.
I'll explain later, Joe. First, let's listen to the story they tell of the man who looks all right, who talks all right, but who wasn't all right.
Then everything's set, huh?
Okay, I'm sure it is. Of course, you understand your application will have to be okayed by our membership committee, but I'm sure there'll be no trouble there. This is one club that needs plenty of new members. We've lost a lot of boys to the service.
Well, you won't have to worry about me. I got mine in the last one. You see, we've just moved into town, and this looks like such a fine place. As soon as I saw it, I hoped that we could get into
the club. Certainly, certainly. Well, now, let's fill out this blank. Your last name first, please?
Giannino. It's kind of hard to spell.
What's that name again?
Giannino. I guess you're shocked. I'm one of those rarities, a blonde Italian. It's sort of precious.
Yes, I see. Well, Mr. Giannino, since there's going to be some delay in getting you in, I don't think we have to bother with the papers now.
Delay? But I thought...
You see, all the information wasn't available. We'll have to check further, get permission from the trustees, and that may take some time, but perhaps 2-6 months or so.
Thank you.
man looked all right and he talked all right and he was welcome. But a word, a new word, a label was brought into the conversation, and the man suddenly changed and became undesirable. Think of the power of these tiny little label words which suddenly can change a person from something friendly and appealing to something which had better be kept at arm's length. But so operates the mind of the bigot.
And so, Mr. Randolph, I told him there'd be a delay, and he got mad, he went out.
Yeah, I do hope I didn't do the wrong thing, but I...
No, Potter, no. You did exactly right. I mean, we're certainly not prejudiced or anything, but one people like that into this club, with all their kids, there wouldn't be room for the member. Why, I'm the most unprejudiced man in the world. But what's a club for if it doesn't have the right to be selective about its membership?
Selective. So run the unctuous words of the bigot. So do they deny the ideal. Is it too much to ask to be judged as an individual on the basis of merit and worth alone? Is it wrong to say, here, look at me, judge me if you must judge? If I am bad, then punish me because I deserve it as eighth of the country from which I came. Is this wrong?
Oh, no, Mac. That's the right way to do it. That's the way people do it. Most people. Oh, there's some hanging around like the ones you mentioned, but you don't come across them very often. They ain't serious.
Not serious. Use your memory, my friend. Think back only months and listen to how serious it can sometimes get.
Hey, how many of the guys showed up?
Oh, everyone. There were three more bunches around on the other side of the pool.
Listen to the black boys laughing at me. We'll kill them.
Come on, pick up some of them stones.
Put them in the park. Yeah,
I got a baseball bat. This ought to be fun.
Hurry up, you guys. Cover the other side of the gate.
Come on, get the gun. Let's get these diggers coming out of the pool.
Yeah, I don't want my kids swimming in there with those black boys.
Get him! Get him! Get him! Kick him out of point.
No, don't. Please don't.
Let's teach him a lesson. Keep away from a white man's swimming pool.
America in 1949.
Sure, I remember the fairground park trouble, but what the heck, Mac? That was just one time. How often does that happen? Some of the boys just got a little riled up.
You're right, my friend. It happened only once, and let's hope that it never happens again. Yeah, some of the boys got a little riled up. But the important thing is it fits into a pattern, the crazy quilt pattern of the denial of freedom. We can't let that sort of thing get started in America. There's too much at stake. Can you still hear the voice of the mustached maniac who denied the right to be different?
It is the rule of the German people to rule the world. We are the Aryan master race. The master race must triumph. Ein Land, ein Volk, ein Welt.
And then we have the fascists of the American homegrown variety. Those who work for disunity by offering to the American people the warmed-over slop of the dead Hitler.
Don't allow the minorities to rule America. You're the real ruler, the white Christian American. That's why our motto is one faith, one race, one nation.
What the heck was that?
Mister, those are the authentic remarks of members of a St. Louis group, the talk handed out by people who refer to themselves as Christians. That's the way the pattern is set up. The pitting of one American group against another. And now, a new voice of destruction has joined the parade.
This is Radio Moscow. These Americans, with their claims to equality for all peoples, are proving again that their statements are nothing but lies. Millions of people in that so-called land of freedom and equality are not free and equal. The Soviet Union offers the only true freedom.
Sure, the old commie line. I heard enough about that. But where's the connection? The Nazis and the Reds hated each other like poison.
They're partners, Joe, blood partners in the pattern of totalitarianism. The German fascist and the American fascist with their demands for one race and one faith. And the Russian fascist with his cry for one class and one all-powerful despotic state. There is no difference, mister. It's the clarion call of totalitarianism.
Yeah. Yeah, I begin to see. It is serious when we kick around these guys of another religion or another race or nationality.
You bet it is, mister, because whenever you take over the methods and ideas of Hitler, whenever you believe the lies of the American demagogues, you're putting muscles into the arms of the boys with the hammer and sickle. That's what happens when some Americans become suckers.
What's the matter? Don't you Jews have any guts?
Sorry, Adams, but the men just won't work with a Negro.
People like that coming into our club. Let's keep the white and white man swimming.
One faith, one race, one nation.
This, my friend, is the great challenge of our time. This is the struggle of our age, the struggle between democracy and human dignity on the one hand, and the philosophy of a super state, a super government, or a super race on the other.
Yeah, and that's one fight our side better win, too.
Yeah, it's plenty important, Joe, the fight for the minds of men. We must not let the people of the world lose their faith in freedom.
Well, I'm ready. What do we do?
We work hard, Joe, work very hard to educate and to fight bigotry. And in that way, we can hope that the great gulf between the ideals on which this nation was founded and the actions of some of its people, that this gulf of hate and prejudice will diminish and fade away. A gulf which is now so great that the President's Committee on Civil Rights said,
the gap between our aims and what we actually do is creating a kind of moral dry rot which eats away at the emotional and rational basis of democratic belief.
Isn't there anything actually being done besides talking?
Here in St. Louis, the mayor has appointed a 15-member council on human relations. Let's listen to the statement of purpose.
This council shall act in an advisory capacity to further amicable relations among the various segments of the population which together comprise the city of St. Louis. It will help to preserve and further the good name of St. Louis for tolerance and fair play, and promote even better relations among its people. To help make it possible for each citizen, regardless of race, creed, or color, or national origin, to develop its talents and abilities without limitation.
To aid in permitting the community to benefit from the fullest realization of its natural resources.
To do this, the council will coordinate and cooperate with the work of all agencies working for better human relations. It will combat those misconceptions, prejudice or untruths, which tend to set up group against group and to reduce tensions caused by ignorance and bigotry. It will work to eliminate discriminatory practices arising from prejudice.
Well, that's fine. I'm glad to see that plans are being made, but is it all talk? Hadn't anything been done?
Plenty, my friend, plenty, and there's lots more to do. In the 7 months of its existence, the Council on Human Relations has done many things.
Set up standing committees of civic leaders to make extensive studies in the field of education, health and recreation, legislation and law enforcement, economic opportunities, including employment and housing.
The council has worked with the police academy in training park police from the standpoint of human relations.
The council has sponsored a 3-day institute for city recreational workers, which was open to white and colored alike. It was the first such institute in the city's history.
The council has worked for and achieved the ruling that for any municipal team or athlete to be declared city champion, he must have competed in competition open to athletes of all creeds and colors.
The council is working, my friend, and so are many other agencies, religious, labor, educational, fraternal, and many other groups where people gather together. They will do a lot. But in the end, the result is up to you, the people of St. Louis. It is for you to decide whether the action shall be so far removed from the ideal that our most precious possession, the American heritage of freedom, a thing to be handled with care, shall be lost. The answer, my friends, is up to you. As was said by Longfellow,
all your strength is in your union.
All your danger is in discord. Therefore, be at peace henceforward, and as brothers, live together.
Handle with care your heritage, your ideal.
Handle with care. Handle with care. Handle with care.
We now take pride in presenting the Honorable Joseph M. Darst, Mayor of the City of St. Louis. Mayor Darst.
The program you have just heard, which is a new and promising experiment in the bettering of our relations with one another, was sponsored by the St. Louis Council on Human Relations. I appointed this group last year in recognition of the prime importance of understanding, brotherhood, and unity in keeping our city strong, vital, and free. Many busy men and women cheerfully and generously serve on this council without compensation because they believe with me that our way of life is the best ever devised by mankind, that it should be constantly safeguarded and improved, and most important of all, made meaningful to every man, woman, and child through daily application. I am pleased to have this opportunity to acknowledge the community's indebtedness to the tireless and unselfish acts of the council membership. The council and your city administration have but one objective in this endeavor: to create an atmosphere in which all our people may enjoy the fruits of democracy in this God-blessed land of ours, regardless of race, creed, color, or national origin.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard tonight The Ideal and the Action, the first in a special series of programs titled Handle with Care, a study of human relations in St. Louis presented by the Mayor's Council on Human Relations. Time for this series has been made available as a public service, a radio station KXOK, the St. Louis Bar Association, and the Junior Chamber of Commerce of St. Louis, which produced the Wake Up St. Louis series. Listeners are cordially invited to send comments and suggestions to the Council on Human Relations. This series will describe the face of discrimination in St. Louis and work toward a feasible solution. You're invited to help in the work by sending incidents of discrimination which you have witnessed to the Radio Committee, Council on Human Relations, Room 200, Municipal Courts Building, St. Louis. That's the Radio Committee, Council on Human Relations, Room 200, Municipal Courts Building, St. Louis. The entire production tonight was supervised and narrated by Robert Lurie. The script was written by Irving Litvag and directed by Sam Weintraub. Heard in the cast were Margaret Speer, Joe Brennan, Haskell Schwartzberg, Carlo Koenig, Gary Kennard, and Carl Martin, sound by Bob Hilly. Listen next week at the same time for another program in the special series, Handle with Care.